As Dorian left the hut, Yasmini sat up and shivered. The night had turned cold, much colder than it should have been. She wondered if it was a natural cold or the cold of evil. Perhaps some baleful spirit hovered over them. She believed implicitly in the other world, which overlapped their own so intimately, the realm in which the angels, the jinni, and the shaitans existed. She shivered again, this time more in dread than with cold. She made the sign to avert the evil eye with thumb and forefinger. Then she stood up from the mattress and turned up the wick of the lantern so that Dorian would have light when he returned. She went to where Dorian's robe hung over the screen and slipped it over her naked body. Sitting on the mattress, she wound his turban round her head. It had dried, but it still smelt of his hair. She lifted a fold of his robe to her nose and smelt the odour of his sweat floating up from the cloth. She inhaled it with pleasure, and the comfort it imparted to her forced back the premonition of lurking evil. Just the faintest twinge of unease lingered. "Where is Dorry?" she whispered. "He should not take so long." She was about to call out to him through the thatched wall when she heard a stealthy sound behind her. She turned and was confronted by a tall figure clad in black, a black headcloth swaddling its face. It seemed to be some evil manifestation, a jinni or a shaitan, rather than a human. It must have entered through the other door, and its ghastly influence seemed to fill the room with a choking, clawing emanation of pure evil. In its right hand, a long, curved blade glinted, reflecting the dim lantern light. Yasmini screamed with all her strength and tried to rise. But the thing sprang towards her, and she did not see the knife stroke, for it was so swift as to cheat her eye. She felt the blade go in, so sharp that her tender flesh offered little resistance to its entry. There was only a stinging sensation deep in her bosom. The assassin stood over her, as she sagged down on legs that were suddenly without strength. He made no effort to pull out the long blade. Instead, he cocked his wrist and held it rigid so the blade was angled upwards. He allowed the razor edge to slice its own way out, enlarging the wound, cutting through muscle, vein, and artery. When at last the blade came free, Yasmini fell back upon the mattress. The dark figure looked about, seeking the man who should have been present, but was not there. He had only realized that his victim was a woman when she screamed, but by then it was too late. He stooped and pulled the turban loose from Yasmini's face. He stared at her lovely features, now so pale and still in the lantern light, that they seemed carved from ivory. "In God's name, only half my work is done," he whispered. "I have killed the vixen, but missed the fox." He whirled and ran for the door through which he had entered the hut. At that moment, Dorian burst naked into the room behind him. "Guards!" Dorian shouted. "Succor on me here!" Kadim ibn Abu Bakr recognized the voice and turned back on the instant. This was the victim he was seeking. This man, and not his woman, dressed in his robes. He leapt at Dorian, who was slow to react, but threw up his right arm to deflect the blow. The blade raked him from shoulder to elbow. His blood sprang darkly in the lamplight, and he yelled again, then dropped to his knees. His arms dangling at his sides, he looked up with a piteous expression at the man who was killing him. Kadim knew that his victim was twice his age, and from his first reaction that the years had slowed him, that now he was helpless. This was his chance to end it swiftly, and he sprang forward eagerly. But he should have been warned by the warlike reputation of Al-Salil. As he stabbed down, going once more for the heart, two steely arms shot out, swiftly as striking adders. He found his knife arm trapped in a classic wrist block. Dorian came to his feet, splattering blood from the long wound down his arm, and they whirled together. Kadim was intent on breaking the lock so that he could stab again. Dorian was trying even more desperately to hold him as he shouted for help. "Tom!" he screamed. "Tom! On me! On me!" Kadim hooked his heel behind Dorian's foot and lunged against him to trip him and throw him over. But Dorian changed his weight smoothly to the other foot and turned inside him, twisting the wrist of his knife hand back against the joint, straining the sinews and tendons. Kadim grunted with pain and fell back a pace against the unbearable pressure. Dorian pressed forward. "Tom!" he yelled,
Tom, in God's name!
Cadum yielded to the pressure on his wrist. The release gave him just enough latitude to turn his hip into Dorian and throw him across it. He broke Dorian's grip and sent him cartwheeling across the floor of the hut. Like a ferret on a rabbit, he went at him, and Dorian was only just able to catch his knife wrist again as he fell back. Once more they were chest to chest, but now Cadum was on top of him, and the difference in their ages and their state of martial fitness began to tell. Remorselessly, Cadum forced the point of the curved blade down towards Dorian's chest. The assassin's face was still covered by the headcloth, only his eyes glittered above the black folds, just inches from Dorian's.
"For my father's memory," grated Cadum, his breath coming hard with the effort, "I perform my duty."
All Cadum's weight was behind his knife arm. Dorian could not hold it longer. His own arm buckled slowly. The knife point pricked the bare skin of his chest and slid on, deeper and still deeper, up to the hilt.
"Justice is mine," Cadum cried in triumph.
Before the cry had died in Cadum's throat, Tom charged through the doorway behind him, furious and powerful as a black-maned lion. He took it all in at a glance, and swung the heavy pistol he carried in his right hand, not daring to fire it for fear of hitting his brother. The steel barrel crunched across the back of Cadum's skull. Without another sound, he collapsed on top of Dorian. As Tom stooped to drag the Arab off his brother's inert body, Mansur dashed into the hut.
"For the love of God, what's amiss?"
"This swine set upon Dorry." Mansur helped Tom to lift Dorian into a sitting position.
"Father, are you hurt?"
Then they both saw the terrible knife wound in his bare chest. They stared at it in horror.
"Yessie," Dorian wheezed. "Look to her."
Tom and Mansur turned towards the small figure curled on the mattress. Neither of them had noticed her till then.
"Yessie's all right, Dorry. She's sleeping," Tom said.
"No, Tom. She is mortal hurt." Dorian tried to shrug off their restraining hands. "Help me. I must attend to her."
"I will see to Mother." Mansur jumped up and ran to the mattress. "Mother," he cried and tried to lift her.
Then he reeled back, staring at his hands, which were shining with Yasmini's blood. Dorian crawled across the floor, dragged himself onto the mattress, and lifted Yasmini in his arms. Her head lolled lifelessly.
"Yessie, please don't leave me."
He wept tears of utter desolation.
"Don't go, my darling."
His entreaties were in vain, for Yasmini's elfin spirit was already well sped along the fatal way.